A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 19th November 2024. It's a Tuesday class. So we'll be continuing our sharing from this book, The Wonderful Dhamma, Lotus Flower Sutta. We are at page 658. So as usual, we'll gather and we'll have our physical puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhen Si Si Chia Moni Fo. Namo Bhen Si Si Chia Moni Fo. Namo Bhen Si Si Chia Moni Fo. Namo Quan Si In Pusa. Namo Quan Si In Pusa. Namo Quan Si In Pusa. Namo Amitabha, Namo Amitabha, Namo Amitabha, Namo Milafo, Namo Milafo, Namo Milafo, Namo Yaosifo, Namo Yaosifo, Namo Yaosifo, Namo Pusen Pusa, Namo Pusen Pusa, Namo Pusen Pusa. Namo Dijang Wang Pusa. Namo Dijang Wang Pusa. Namo Dijang Wang Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Tutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Tutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adinadana Viramani Padang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majapamadatana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. We shall continue from Padipa Puja onward. Ganna Sarappa Dithena Dipena Tamadangsina Tiloka Dipang Sambuddhang Pujayami Tamonudhang. Ganda sambarayutena dupena hang sugang hina Pujaye pujaniyang tang Puja bhajana mutamang Vanna ganda guno petang Etang kasuma santatin Pujayami monindasa Siri pada sarorohe Pujemi bedang kusumena nena Punena metena ce hotu mokang Pupang mila yati yata idang me Kayo tata yati binasa bawang Adivase tuno bante Paniyang parika pitang Anu kampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutemang Adivase tuno bante Pale parika pitang Anu kampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutemang Adivase tuno bante Bojanang parika pitang Anu kampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutemang Now you are chant the puja aspirations based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the born free Vana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us now pay respect to Puja. Badang Pujami. Damang Pujami. Sanghang Pujami. This awareness-based meditation is very useful and very important. It helps to train us to decondition our heedless thinking so that we can be aware within. Like the word awareness-based meditation means we are going to develop the stability of awareness within our mind for us to meditate. So as usual, you just have to remember the four support that will support you to develop this awareness-based meditation. The first three are very important. The first support is relax. Like any yoga training or exercise, you must have a relaxed body and mind. If your body and mind is not relaxed, you cannot meditate, you cannot do your things well. So relaxing body and mind is very important so that you are at ease. So relax body and mind. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Then maintain awareness is your second support. To maintain awareness is not easy, but if you understand, then it can be very easy. Means basically as a human being, we have our six physical senses. We have our ear, our eye, our nose, our tongue, our tactile, and our brain or thought process. So this six sense basis, together with the external six type of sense data and the consciousness that is trapped inside, upon contact between the mind and the respective sense basis and the sense object, it will trigger off the respective sense experience. Take for example seeing. To see something, we need light, we need color, shape and form so that it can manifest the seeing consciousness. So at the moment of contact, naturally the consciousness will arise, like the physics experiment, the battery, the switch and the bulb. When everything is functioning, you on the switch, the light bulb lights up. The lighting up of the light bulbs is analogous to us becoming conscious. We can be conscious of what we see, that's a seeing consciousness. We can be conscious of what we hear, hearing consciousness. We can be conscious of what we feel through our tactile. Then we can be conscious of what we smell, what we taste. So all these are the sense basis, respective type of consciousness. Then we can also be conscious of our thought process. As I disexcend all, defines clearly how we function as a human being. And when we understand how we function as a human being, because the way to understand it is very important. How do you know the world? How do you interact with the world? You know the world through your senses, our six sense. Without the six sense, there can be no knowing. You can only know through your senses when you become conscious. Conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. Without this, you are like a vegetable. That's why consciousness is a gift. It is something very unique that living being can actually develop and own. Then apart from consciousness, we also need to communicate and interact with the world. So through the consciousness, we know the world. Through the senses again, we communicate and we interact with the world. So the form and mind can perform all this. But for us who is meditating, we need to understand how when consciousness arises, if we are so conditioned and without the wisdom and understanding, we tend to react to sense experience. we tend to perceive it with negativity. We tend to respond and react to whatever that arises. So because of that, you create heedless thinking, wrong thought. And all this will manifest. So to develop awareness, that is meditation, we should just maintain awareness. Meaning whatever arises, just aware. Finish. No need to labor. No word. No need to know. No concept, no idea, just aware. We are our true nature. Pure awareness nature is just aware. That's it. And this awareness nature is very powerful. It is the one that is responsible for the arising of the consciousness and its thought process. But before the knowing, before the aggregates of mind arise, is just pure consciousness. Like the Buddha said, in the seeing, is only the seeing consciousness. Hearing, hearing consciousness. No one to see, no one to hear. You must develop awareness to understand this. So at the moment of seeing, whether there is really anybody behind to see, to hear, to smell, to taste, to tactile, feel or think, if you really in sati, you will come to know the awareness is just a pure awareness. There is no one to perform all those things. The egoic mind that is responsible for the wrong view that condition us to believe that there is a being who think, who see, who smell, who taste, who tactile feel and think. That is sakkāditti, self-delusion. So seeing this is very important. Okay. So first support, relax, then maintain awareness. Second support. By maintaining awareness, you don't think. Everything that arises, aware, finish. Aware, finish. By doing this, you slow down all your thinking. You actually reverse all your heedless thinking. You just maintain the quietness inside, aware. Constantly aware, aware. Whatever arises, aware, finish. Then stabilize this awareness. That is the third support. Sometimes we call it 24-hour awareness. When you are continuously aware, that is the third support. Means you need to be constantly aware, ever mindful, to stabilize the mindfulness or the awareness within. Then the last one is, of course, trust. Trust your nature to develop the meditative movement. There is no interference from your thought process, from your memory, your views, your opinion, your conditioning and your belief system, from your knowledge. So this trust you don't do until much later, until you have stabilized the first three supports. To have the ability to be in a state of relaxed inner awareness. Until you are most of the time aware, aware, aware. And then only you proceed with the four support. Where you just relax, maintain awareness and stay at the heart area. Then whatever arises, just aware. Then if you can detect whatever heartbeat or vibration around the heart area, just be with it, silent everything and stay until the silence become very quiet, very still. That is your awareness nature. Then let the shift in consciousness happen by itself so that you understand what this thing is. Okay, you all can slowly. Mindfully, come on, meditation. try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Okay, now turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We shall do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakravalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Munirajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhadam Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Iti Peso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavidu anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusanang buddho bhagavati suakato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko ehipaseko opanaiko pachyatang veditabo minohiti supatipanno bhagavato sakkasango Ujjupatipanno bhagavato sakkasango Nyayapatipanno bhagavato sakkasango Samichipatipanno bhagavato sakkasango Yadidang chatari purisayukani Atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato sakkasango ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkhineyo anjali karaneyo anuttarang punyang ketang lokasati Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we shall continue from where we stopped. I will read from the commentary. The white ox, as mentioned in the line, each is yoked to a white ox with lustrous, clear skin. Can refer to the four foundations of mindfulness, the four kinds of right effort, or the four steps to spiritual powers. So the four steps to spiritual power are, here the English translation is not so accurate. They use the word desire. It's not desire. It's actually the Pali word chanda. These are the four bases of success. It's part of the 37 factors of enlightenment. So chanda is translated more accurately as passion. To be successful in whatever worldly things you want to achieve, you need to have chanda. Means you must have passion towards that thing. You want to excel in it, you want to develop it well. It may be meditation or anything, or studying the Dhamma. Then once you have this chanda, the second one is virya. Virya, translated as vigor, is correct. It's a type of spiritual zeal. Then the third one is actually citta. Citta here they translate as mindfulness. But actually the correct translation is actually the willpower. The willpower of the mind, the citta, the mundane mind. And the last one they translate as consideration, which is not correct. The Pali word is vimamsa. Vimamsa is constant investigation, the investigative training, where you investigate into what you do so that you can do it better the next time around. Okay, we go up the notes. Yeah. So here, the first one is actually chanda, passion, but they translate it as desire, which is not correct. This refers not to sensual desire, at least they qualify it, but to the wish to succeed in cultivation. So the correct word should be passion. Passion. Chanda. The Pali word is chanda. Then virya is a spiritual tenacity or zeal. So here, under the Master Xuanhua's commentary, is mentioned, if you are vigorous, your wish will be fulfilled. For example, Guo Qian wishes to bow to the Dharma Flower Sutta. If he sticks to his resolve and bow every day, he will have the spiritual power of virya or vigor. By doing what not other Buddhists in the West has done, he is leading the way. Hence his name, Qian, meaning in front. So this one is the correct Pali word should be virya. Virya is a spiritual zeal or tenacity to go this way. When you see the importance of this cultivation, then you develop the virya, the strong tenacity to excel or to do well. Then number three is citta. Citta here they translate as mindfulness. It's not mindfulness. Citta here means the mind itself, and the mind itself has spiritual powers, spiritual faculty, and one of them is of course our willpower. So that willpower is part of our spiritual power. So according to Xuanhua's commentary, is mentioned, this is also known as the spiritual power of the mind. This one is more correct. Means the willpower. You will accomplish anything you set your mind to. You will succeed in what you wish to do. So this one is the mind that has the intent to really develop it, the willpower. Means you don't give up. Then number four, here they say consideration is not the correct word. It should be investigative training, vimamsa. Anyway, I just read their commentaries. If you reflect upon and consider your goal, you will realize it. So this one may not be so precise. The more precise one is investigative, means it's just like nowadays we got this international standard organization, ISO. So when you develop ISO, it's an improvement on what you do. So when you develop investigative training on what you do, you can keep on improving into it. That's what Vimamsa is all about. Then I read on. The four steps to spiritual power must be built on the foundation of the wisdom free of outflow. They cannot be accomplished if you still have outflow. If you want to be free of outflow, you must free yourself from of sexual desire. That is the foundation of freedom from outflow. When you have no sexual desire, you will have realized the wisdom free of outflow. If you still have sexual desire, you have not yet attained such wisdom. So this one is the commentary part. We read on. And each great white ox has a beautiful body, the mind that makes the resolve for the great vehicle or supreme vehicle teaching is like a beautiful body. The great vehicle Dhamma teachings or teaches that the mind contains all phenomena, for it has the marvelous function of the perfect essential nature. So this one, there is a note, a footnote. 全体大用. Yeah. This expression is from how to read this Mandarin word. 大学文章曲. A commentary on the great learning of the Song Dynasty Neo Confucian philosopher Zhu Xi. Then Master Hua's explanation will make more sense if one notes that the body is correlated to the essential nature, both being translation of the same character, T. Okay, next one. The oxen are muscular and strong. They have great muscular strength. Their muscles are big and well toned, so they are very strong. What do their muscle and strength represent? Muscle symbolizes the five roots, and strength represents the five powers. The five roots are five kinds of good roots. They are called roots because roots are associated with growth. It is said when the roots grow deep, the tree is secure. When the roots are strong, the branches thrive. If the roots are deep and strong, the branches and leaves will become lush and beautiful. What are these five roots? They are the roots of... Oh, this is the five spiritual faculties. Yeah? Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. So here, according to Shen Hua, Saddha here, he translates as faith. Then he said, I've told you before that the Buddha Dhamma is as vast as the sea. You can only enter the great sea of Buddha Dhamma through faith. Faith is the root that all of us who study Buddha Dhamma needs. If you have faith, you can plant this root deeply into the ground. The greater your faith, the deeper your root. If you do not have faith, you will have no roots. I teach you the Buddha Dhamma every day. but you still have to bring forth the faith and send down your own roots. So this is the translation and explanation by Master Xuan Hong. But under the Theravada tradition's teaching, Saddha here means faith through knowing who the Buddha is, how unique a being he is. He's not only wise and virtuous. You can say he is the most virtuous and the wisest living being ever to be born. That's why he has perfect wisdom and virtue. Yeah. And in that sense, it is mentioned he is not only enlightened, he has completed the whole training and he is fully enlightened. And because of that, he can summarize all of the secret of life into just four essential noble truths. And that is the greatness of his teaching, the great unique nature of his teaching. And his teaching is capable of awakening living being, bring about enlightenment in the here and the now, so that living being can transcend birth and death, can liberate their mind to be free from suffering. Then Virya here, Xuan Hua's commentary is translated as, having developed faith, you should advance with vigor. This is correct. Faith is useless if you do not practice with vigor. You must go forward and cultivate. But the more accurate translation should be, once you have the faith born of knowing who the Buddha is and how unique a being he is and how special his teaching is, then you will develop that faith to drive you to cultivate. And that driving force is called virya, spiritual zeal, or tenacity to go this way, to cultivate his teaching, to realize his enlightenment. Then number three is mindfulness, sati. You must be mindful and never forget your practice. So this one is Xuan Hua's, they call it under their commentaries. But actually sati is different. Sati, there is a different definition. Sati, although translated as mindfulness, the direct translation is not so accurate. Mind in fullness. Full of what? Not defined. If full of thought, then it cannot be mindfulness. The mind that is aware without thought is mindfulness. So mindfulness is a spiritual faculty in the sense that when you are aware without thought, there is clarity. That's why sati is awareness before the knowing. That's why it's totally different. But as you cultivate, you will develop the understanding. Then here, the number four, samadhi, they use the wrong translation. They use the word concentration. But Mahayana, they like this word concentration. They call it chanting. Then some refer to the jhanas, si chan, ba ting. The four type of form jhana and the four type of formless jhana. They call it the eight type of samadhi. So the correct word should be samadhi, the Pali word. So samadhi is actually collectedness of mind, unwavering mind. The free mind that is collected and unwavering is not in concentration. Concentration is a conditioned state. So that's the difference. So once you have developed the roots of mindfulness, you do not want to be moved by others. This is Schoenhorst's commentary. Do not attempt to teach others yet. Knowing the benefits of the Buddha Dhamma, you may wish to teach the Dhamma to others so that they too will benefit or believe in the Buddha and his teaching. However, if you approach them, they might convert you instead, saying Christianity is the best religion. Catholicism is far better. Come and get baptized to become a true disciple and a true friend. Since you have not developed samadhi yet, you could become one of their converts. So instead of influencing them, you could be influenced by them. If you have samadhi, you have saved those who wish to save instead of being saved by them. So this is Schoenhorst's way of humor also. Because to them, samadhi means you already have the wisdom, which is true, equanimity. When you have the wisdom, people cannot, you become unshakable. Then that samadhi, in Mahayana, they call it ting li, which is very good. Means you are in the state of samadhi. You cannot be affected by all these things. Then the last spiritual faculty is wisdom or panya in Pali. Having attained the root of samadhi, they use the wrong word, concentration, you will develop the root of wisdom. Once the root of wisdom grows onto the ground, you will remain steadfast. So this is how the five spiritual faculties or five kinds of roots and are developed. Once established, you can grow into the five powers. The powers are same, the five same spiritual faculties, but they have become stabilized until it's unshakable. So the five powers are called balas. With this five power, you will be able to use the wisdom free of outflow to bring to fruition all the good roots and seed of bohi, to repeat the muscles of the oxen represent the five roots, and their strength signify the five spiritual power. Then next part of the sutta is the oxen walk with a steady even gait, because the oxen have great strength, muscular strength. They are sure-footed and never stumble, and the cart moves steadily as well. Walk with a steady even gait signifies equality in samadhi and wisdom. If one has samadhi, one also has wisdom. And if one has wisdom, one also has samadhi. When samadhi increases, wisdom increases accordingly, and vice versa. Samadhi and wisdom should be evenly balanced. If you have samadhi and no wisdom, you will be an ignorant cultivator. If you have wisdom but no samadhi, you will be a frankish cultivator. Therefore, samadhi and wisdom should complement each other. This word, complement each other, is correct. Actually, the cultivation is not what people think. Initially, before you develop the wisdom, you need to have some form of samadhi. Means your mind must be at least collected and unwavering. Otherwise, easily heedless, distracted. So initially, you need some form of stability, we call samadhi. Then when you have samadhi, you can see things as they are. Means in the midst of sense experience. When there is sense no contact at the moment of sense experience, your mind does not waver. It is like stable, collected, and unwavering. And because of that, it can see things as they are. Then it can develop the insight, the wisdom, the awakening. And because of that, wisdom can arise. Yeah. But when wisdom arises, the samadhi becomes more stable. Because when there is wisdom, this samadhi is not like affected by anything else anymore. It will know how to stay there, because everything is just the way it is. It will know, think also like that, don't think also like that. Nature is of the condition to arise and pass away, following causes and conditions. Everything is dependent, originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. Just like the Dhamma Sutta mentioned clearly, each year you waver. Zhu mong huan pao yin, zhu lu yi lu tian, ying zuo lu si guan. So all this saying become beautiful when wisdom arises. Okay, we move up and we will continue. Walk with a steady even yet also represent the seven factors of enlightenment or seven factors of awakening. In Pali is called Bhujanga, Satta Bhujanga. Satta is seven, Bhujanga is factors of enlightenment. These are the seven Dhamma doors that leads to awakening. That's why it's called enlightenment factors. When you have them develop, it will bring about factors of enlightenment. In total, there are 37. But the one that is taught and the most appropriate one is only seven. So Shenhua say, these are seven Dhamma doors that leads to awakening. They are part of the 37 factors of enlightenment or awakening that the Buddha taught the followers of the two vehicles. And they are also part of the supreme vehicle. So these 37 factors of enlightenment, they are listed below. First is the four foundation of mindfulness. Then the four kind of right effort. Then the four steps to spiritual power, means the four bases of success. Then the five spiritual faculty. Then the five powers. Then of course the Noble Eightfold Path and the seven factors of enlightenment. So these seven factors of enlightenment, they are actually here the order Shenhua put it is different from the Theravada tradition. He start with Dhamma investigation. Investigation of Dhamma. This one is second. The first one is sati. You must have sati first. Then only you can investigate the Dhamma. So anyway, I just read through. Investigation of Dhamma in Pali is Dhamma Vichaya. In investigating the Dhamma, one must choose between correct and incorrect teachings, orthodox and heterodox teaching, true and false teaching, and well-founded and baseless teaching. One should be selective among Dhammas. How should one select them? One should select the Dhamma wisely, with wisdom, free of outflow, and with Dhamma selecting vision, we must pick out the orthodox, true, well-founded, and wholesome Dhamma to cultivate while avoiding all the heterodox, baseless, and improper teaching based on wrong view. So these are the typical, I think, Mahayana explanation. But in the Theravada tradition, is different. Dhamma investigation can only arise when there is sati. When there is sati, means you are mindful, aware. When you are mindful and aware, you can investigate into everything. If it's the truth, it will stand up to investigation. So you don't have to have a preconceived idea of whether this is the truth or not the truth. But you must have sati. Without sati, you are like blind. You cannot start. Then after you investigate the Dhamma, and the Dhamma stand up to investigation, means your faith become very strong. You no longer doubt. So once your faith is there, spiritual zeal, virya will arise. The next enlightenment factor, which is here translated as vigor or spiritual zeal, virya. So having investigated and identified the proper Dhamma, one must cultivate it with virya or vigor. Your vigor must apply to cultivating authentic Dhamma Dong, not to follow the false teaching. If you are vigorous in cultivating false teaching, your virya becomes false as well. That's why there is a factor of enlightenment, awakening for virya, to help you be clear along about the path you intend to vigorously cultivate. Actually, this one is Shenhua's commentary's explanation version. The actual one is not the actual one is this virya is a spiritual zeal born of understanding. After you investigate, you stand up to investigation, then the faith very strong, then you go all out to cultivate. You won't go wrong one. Then as you cultivate with virya, you will develop what they call the next enlightenment factor, which is called piti. You will experience piti. Then here, Shenhua, they explain as there is proper, both proper and improper joy. There is joy that comes from following a correct path of cultivation. On the other hand, there are also people who experience a confused kind of insane happiness. This is an improper sort of joy. In such a situation, you let your desire go wild and do confused things. You feel very happy at that time, but this is a confused joy, and you should not want it. You should... What should you find joy in? You want to take delight in Dhyan Samadhi and the Dhamma. You should take the bliss of Dhyan as your food and be filled with the joy of Samadhi or Dhamma. You should feel joyful to have found the Buddha Dhamma. I did not understand the Buddha Dhamma at all in the past. Now I understand all these principles that are so profound and wonderful. This gives you a sense of joy. Actually, is the other way around. Because this piti is an enlightenment factor, because as you cultivate with vigor or virya, you actually develop progress and your sati stabilize. When your sati stabilize, it develops into piti. The first thing that arises is you feel the spiritual calmness, the spiritual peacefulness of mind. When your mind is just aware without thought, that peace is very different. That peace is what the Buddha called piti. Then the next one is, why they use the word relinquishment? In Pali it's called sukhang. After piti is pasati. Pasati is tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the true mind. So anyway, I read and find out the meaning, see whether the commentary is accurate or not. Having determined what is true and false, you should hold on to the true and relinquish the false. What are you relinquishing ultimately? You are relinquishing your affliction. So in some sources, under the note 13, this factor of enlightenment is listed as lightness and ease. That one is more correct. Actually, it's tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. However, in the Tian Tai and other texts, it is known as relinquishment, the four xue, the si dian. Da zi dian. Da zi dian. Mei you Mandarin. Explain that upon relinquishing the heavy defilements of body and mind, one experience lightness and ease in the body. You see, the actual happening is where you develop piti, actually the next one that arises is sukhang. But sukhang is not an enlightenment factor. Sukhang is a jhanic factor. You feel very blissful. Then after that sukhang is like no more, after you can relinquish it, then your mind becomes very quiet and very still. Then it is in the state of tranquility or stillness of mind. That's why the Theravada tradition, they translate it more accurately, it's called tranquility, pasati, or tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. Then number five, they call it renunciation. You hear the English word they use are so different from most of the Theravada tradition. Anyway, I just read the English translation, but you must discard everything to which you should not be attached. For example, when sitting in meditation, you should not attach to the benefits you gain through meditation. Some people have some accomplishment in meditation and get attached to the state that they experience. Unable to let go, they hanker after their pleasant state. Such state should be abandoned too. When you have renounced them, you will attain concentration. Go to note 14. The other sources translate this factor of enlightenment or awakening as equanimity. Equanimity is the state of mind that remains balanced and unperturbed by emotion or external situation. It allows one to transcend all attachment and aversion. By renouncing all preference, one becomes impartial and detached. Hence, upekkha is often translated as equanimity. But since upekkha or equanimity results from renouncing preference and discrimination, it is also translated in Chinese as, what is the Chinese word? Or meaning renunciation. Okay, go back to number five. So this one here, actually they confuse the whole thing. The Theravada tradition, seven factor enlightenment, The translation is totally different. The actual one is not like that one. This equanimity, the sequencing all wrong. I think they don't know how to explain it or what, I don't know. That's why they end up very confused. This translation is, so far, this translation is not really proper, not good. Yeah. So here, I think I was straight away going to the Theravada tradition. From sati, you must have sati, mindfulness. First of the enlightenment factor, then you only can develop the Dhamma investigation. Without sati, you cannot investigate the Dhamma. Then when you investigate into the Dhamma, it stand up to investigation, means your faith become very strong. Then it will drive you to cultivate. Virya will be there. That vigor, that tenacity, that zeal, spiritual tenacity or zeal will be there. Then when you cultivate seriously with virya, you will develop what we call piti. Then from piti, you will go through also what they call sukhang. But sukhang is not enlightenment factor. Until your mind becomes very quiet, very still, unmoving, then you realize tranquility or stillness of mind. We call it paucity. Yeah. Then when there is paucity, this enlightenment factor is very important. It's your true mind. Then from paucity, you develop samadhi. Because when you stabilize your true mind, the silent mind, the pure awareness nature within, that mind become very different. It's in the state of collectedness and unwavering, but it's a free mind. It's not in concentration. That is what samadhi is. Then at that moment, at the moment of sense experience, it does not waver. It's collected. That's why you can see things as they are. You can insight in the phenomena. You can awaken. Then you develop what they call wisdom. Then it transforms the cultivator into the state of equanimity. The mind that is in the state of equanimity is develop through wisdom. So samadhi must be there before upeka can arise. So this seven factor enlightenment under the Theravada tradition, the Pali version, is very accurate and is very precise. Eh? Okay, then we go back to the note. We just skip the rest. Where they go and explain until the last one is sati. Mindfulness. wait. Number 7, I want to see what they write. Investigation of the Dhamma, vigor, and joy are factors of awakening that have to do with the mind. When you feel drowsy, you can counteract the drowsiness with the 3 factors of enlightenment. When you feel restless, you can counteract the restlessness with really. Oh, this one wrong again. Actually, the 5 mental hindrance, you need the 5 spiritual faculty to overcome them. Never mind, we just ignore this. But there's a note. See, 14. Oh, you read through. Okay, go up. These are all wrong. We can skip. So I read for the 7 factors of enlightenment or awakening. Oh, they are sequence all wrong. Method or identity. Oh, yeah. Okay, at least the other part that follow is okay. So he said, these seven factors are enlightenment. Forget about the sequence, maybe they don't understand, that's why they cannot explain it. Are ways for attaining awakening, because they are called factors of awakening or enlightenment. Cultivators should understand that these seven factors of enlightenment, those who have made the resolve to become enlightened or awakened must cultivate accordingly. This is to walk with a steady, even gait. You harmonize the body and mind. Using the seven factors of enlightenment, you will be free from danger. You will be able to walk with a steady, even gait, meaning you can apply effort in cultivation. Okay, this one also can ignore. Each great cart pulled by this white ox travel as swift as the wind. There are many different types of wind. Hurricane wreak havoc everywhere, while light breezes are welcomed by everyone. The wind refers to here is neither a light breeze nor a hurricane. On the other hand, you can say that it is both a light breeze and a hurricane. Why? It is a light breeze because it makes you feel refreshed and comfortable. It's also a hurricane because it destroys the erroneous knowledge and view of heavenly demons and heretics as swiftly as the wind. It's also a metaphor for the Eightfold Path. The Eightfold Path refers to the eight right modes of cultivation that ought to be followed. Now, this is our Noble Eightfold Path. So starting with right view, I think ignore their explanation because their translation is not accurate. Then right thought. Okay. So here the right thought, Shenhua explained as, if it is not the decent and proper thought, do not listen to it. Do not listen to, think about, or ponder over anything that is indecent is or improper. Why must you think about something indecent or improper? It all starts from hearing about it. After that, you keep thinking about it, wondering about it. Actually, here, right thought, the meaning is much more deeper. Of course, improper thought or indecent thought is also one of those wrong thought that you should avoid. But right thought means thought that are free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. And that definition is very important. Yeah. Thoughts that are born of right view. No delusion, ignorant, or wrong view behind. Then right speech, if it is not decent or proper, do not speak. Do not talk about anything inappropriate. Do not gossip, and this one is okay. Do not discuss others' fault or shortcoming, even if you clearly know that somebody is at fault. Forgive them if it's all possible, if at all possible. Be tolerant if you can. People are just people, after all. If people did not make mistakes, if people did not make mistakes, they would all have become Buddhas. People have deeply ingrained habits. And no one can avoid doing at least a few wrong things. So don't talk about others' fault. That is right speech. Engage only in blameless talk and avoid gossip. Don't get together with your friends and sit in judgment of others, criticizing this person and that person. Do not criticize others. People come together in this world because of affinity. We meet them to learn the Buddha Dharma from one another. We should look at others' strength instead of their fault. But what if we are wrong and refuse to change? Then what should we do? You ask. Do not assume that they will not change. Just have faith that they will. If you expect them to change, they will. If you confront them head on, say, you are wrong. You should do this and that. They will get annoyed. You are not to tell them what to do. It can backfire. Who are you to boss me around? They may ask. I should be the one bossing you around. I can see a few places where you are off and the fight is on. I think this one all can ignore. Earlier on, the Noble Eightfold Path I given you all is much better. Okay, right action, move on, we skip all this. Right living, skip, go. Okay, the four right effort we have gone through, okay, continue. Okay, right mindfulness. Right mindfulness is mindfulness of the Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha. Oh, this is their way of explanation. Anyway, you follow the Theravada tradition, the four foundations of mindfulness. That one is better. Okay, I'll move on further. Some more. Oh, so long. We have to end already. Samadhi, okay, continue. Yeah, this one, I think, their translation not so good. Okay, we stop here. Okay, we mark this page. Each card is guarded by many servants. Okay, we are at page 699. 669. Sorry, 669. Okay, so we can continue our second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever Q&A that you may have.
Good evening, Sabratio and all the amitas. Nothing much to share, but just maybe can share some things what I've feel for the past few months, you see.
Oh, okay.
I noticed that nowadays I feel much contented.
Much, very good.
Yeah, much easier going.
Yeah.
And I think it's really because of, you know, I've settled all the major issues in life. Is it?
Correct. Well, last time you worry a lot. Yeah. You can see on your face. Oh, that fear, that worry, that anxiety. You are like not with yourself.
Yeah, correct. So I think it's really a very, very blessing, is it?
Yeah.
And it is a totally sort of like a upside down again.
Yeah.
All right. And recently, as I shared with you before that, I went to China. So seeing the people in China again give me a lot of like gratitude that you know the life that I have now is really not easy.
Yeah. In fact, it's a blessing for Kayamita to have such condition in this life, to receive all this understanding and to live the Dhamma way. Actually, it's a real blessing, not easy to realize or to achieve.
Yeah, especially, you know, at this point of life, whereby you can see a lot of people are in, either are in dilemma or they are lost of directions.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and I'm very glad that because of the in the cultivations of Buddha Dhamma, it gave me a sense of directions.
Yeah.
And also a sense of purpose in life, you know, not only that we need to fulfill our material rights, but also what should we do, is it?
Yeah.
And that really, you know, give me a lot of like, what do you call that? It's like a lot of faith, is it?
Mm.
That at least there are things that I know what to do, you know, that I can pursue, you see?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Because seriously, I saw, you know, when I was in China, I saw a lot of people, they are really miserable. They are in the life of like, you know, just keep on working and working and working.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And having to like strive so hard and go through all the chaos and what their chores and all the suffering that they need to confront. And in between, very hectic. A lot of like stress, a lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of anxiety. It's like unending, getting tormented here and there. Then at times they like give up hope, don't know what to do. And they feel very frustrated. And this is normal for heedless living beings who don't have the Dhamma understanding. As I depend on the individual's karmic past, most living beings, actually, you like it or not, finally, they encounter the First Noble Truth reality, they suffer a lot, actually. Because it may be like, when you start, it doesn't affect you because you are still young, you got good parents and all things. But then as you go through life, you confront all this that you never confront before, that it entangle you. Yeah. Especially when it comes to career, when it comes to relationship, then when it comes to your daily life and all those things, then the four reality of old age, sickness and death after birth, all these are not easy to confront. Then separation is also a very severe thing. Then not able to get what one desire when things don't go your way, when your career path have been threatened or affected. So all this actually can create a lot of very severe mental issues and problems. Then sometimes they just decide to finish off their life, suicidal thought and all those things. And in fact, the world is full of this. Then you got all this war-torn area, where the like even at the present moment, you look at Lebanon, Gaza, Ukraine, and many other places in the world. War is still going on, even in Africa. And all this, they also need to endure the harsh, what they call climate. In fact, now, hurricane, typhoon, and forest fire, they are also very severe. Then flood, also very severe. And all these are actually causing a lot of suffering to living beings. The recent one is in Spain. So when you really reflect and contemplate, you look back on your life, no matter how bad, you already like count your blessing. Or at least in Malaysia, we are still safe. We don't have such problems. In fact, you should really reflect on all this. It's not easy to have good understanding to live life. And to really live life, you must have the Dhamma. Otherwise, you suffer. Like what we go through wedding, was it the Sunday class or Thursday class? I forgot already. Where we share on all this karmic thing. Without Dhamma, living beings really suffer. They cannot cope with life, they cannot handle life. And it's really tough, really, really tough. Very good.
It's really, give me the realizations and also the deep faith and also a very, very gratitude that, I still have a lot of like guiren, and the kayamita, whereby the time where I in need, you are here to help me. Giving me the advice and the comfort. So I cannot imagine that things can be just turn around which
and turn around very beautifully. Not only dramatically, beautifully. Even your relationship with your sister, your brother, your mother, they are like improved, tremendously improved. And your life has become so much better. That's why you develop a lot of joy, a lot of happiness, a lot of understanding. Especially after you decide to follow the Dhamma way, then you start to turn around your life. Then you realize all your fear, the worry, the anxiety, and the coming entanglement, they like slowly, slowly, one by one, reverse and get resolved. Then after that, financially also get resolved. Then your life becomes so different, no? And you can travel, can do a lot of things that last time you never even dreamed of having the possibility of having that type of life. That's why with Dhamma, all this become possible.
It's just like giving me a second chance of life. And not only that, but it's also, with this second life, it gives me a more deeper understanding of karma, which now is really, cannot be really playful on karma.
Must not take karma lightly. Oh, we have greeting from Perth, Alicia, Sister Alicia. So he said, greeting from Prabhupada, Mr. Steer, okay, we also rejoice. Yeah, you continue.
Yeah, and also let me understand that, to have cultivations, you must have some basic life, don't have to, you don't have to worry about financially.
The basic need.
That's right, that's right.
That's why when you have the understanding, you come with all this understanding, then you become different. That's why the yellow card, the Bodhisattva vow, and the understanding that I give you all, that one is very good. And like I explained to you all before, this segmented life of my nature that come, I actually plan all this through my understanding. Then because of my understanding, I was able to create a causes and condition so that whenever I arise, I can receive all those things that I need. And I am self-sufficient. Means I don't need to depend on anybody or anything. Everything is there. And I have everything like to use the word good life or perfect life is not an exaggeration, because what I went through is like, how can it be? You are so blessed, or like everything go your way, it just fall into place, or like I didn't do anything, I just, my nature is an echo and flow, and everything fall into place, or everything turn out to be the way it is. Then like I wrote in the seminar paper, all the things that a normal living being would like to achieve or realize, I realize not only all of them, I reach the pinnacle of them all. That's why life become meaningful, beautiful. And the Dhamma saying from the Heart Sutta is very true. When you realize the true Dhamma, Chân Khôn, true emptiness, then life become wonderful, Chân Khôn, Miao Yu. So all these are really beautiful and possible. Very good, you know. Sadhu.
Yeah. So the second part of my life is that, you know, I'll be have more dedications in the Buddha Dhamma.
Yeah.
And
in fact, this life, what you did is very good. Very, very good. It will help you a lot. And it can also not only bless you, but your family members and all those that you want to help. Because your parami, you have to set up the website, all those things, and you did so many of all this. And this wholesomeness, you can never understand the extent of it until later on when your cultivation takes progress. Then you will look back and realize, oh, no wonder you can have this type of ability to have this type of life and this type of... But it is from what you do that manifests and create the causes and conditions for your life to turn around. In fact, in the past, you have done a bit. But this life, you are very lucky because the condition manifests for you to do and it becomes like, I use the Cantonese word, Motin Tin Phat Tat, you know what I said? For no reason, no, you are the right person at the right place and you are young and you can contribute that area. And that time, you were very sincere and you were at a loss at that time. I remember song helped you a lot. So all these are like meant to be. And your group actually, Chupolian related to you and PG, they all, even Song and Alicia, that whole Kayamita group, even LC, Tuesday class, Tamil, you all have that affinity. And because of that, you realize our Kayamita Shiva grow and become very unique, very special. And from there, a lot of things keep on unfolding, unfolding, and unfolding. And all these years of sharing, already 20 years of, you can never measure. It's like they call it, you chant the salutation to the Sangha, the field of merit is limitless, really limitless. You cannot measure. But this is done with understanding, sincerity, and is for the Kayamita, and is for the future of cultivator, and it is for the sasana too. That's why when you travel or what, you also will realize most of the Kayamita, you are like blessed, like the Dhamma protector, they are there to protect you, to support you. In fact, a lot of Kayamita to me, not only when we travel together as spiritual friends on spiritual trip, but some they go on their own. They also told me, it's like that. It's like they are very blessed. So all this blessing really come from Dhamma understanding, not luck or nothing to do with luck. You don't have the Dhamma understanding and the parami, all this can never happen. And most people kana is the karmic friction, the karmic consciousness, very severe one, kau one. They say it's state of, you see the restaurant kopi kau, this one is karmic kau. So the karmic conditioning can be very severe if you don't pay attention and you don't believe in it, especially karma. You cannot play a fool. The most dangerous one is the one who don't believe. and become like the views very, what they call, hold on to their view tenaciously, and they refuse to believe all this thing. Oh, that one, when it hit back, is very severe, very, very severe. Very good, you know, sadhu.
And really, I mean, when I think back and reflect how I'm able to help out in Kayamita, all these things, actually, sometimes I think it's like, it's already planned, is it?
Yeah. It's like, you know, somehow, must be a lot of things to do with your past. Otherwise, you cannot be the person that is like the chosen one to do that work. Cannot be. It's like meant to be.
Because that time during when I was helping out the times, it was the time where I have most free, you see?
Yeah.
The reason why that I'm so free is because I'm so unfortunate in my career. See? And it's, and I mean, there's nothing much I can do about that.
Yeah.
You know? But at the same time also because in person I like, you know, to explore in IT and all those kind of things.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's somehow it's like, you know, it
turned out
to, into the position.
No, it turned out to be a blessing in disguise. Without that economic situation, you will not learn into that. Then you will not end up doing all those things. Well, you learn IT, all those things is because at that time, I think you went through a lot of tough decision. I think the first thing is when your father, the business, that time he only 34 years old. I think got to take over the whole thing, no, and look after the family, the sister, the mother, one person got to carry the flag, no, and meet the lawyer very. The lawyer is not easy to deal with. And the corporate thing and all that. That's why at that time he really kena the karmic, what they call karmic repercussion that hit him very severe. And later on, as he continued to do all this, then he realized that this is all karmic. That's why he has to pay back. Then he became like very patient. Willing to see it through, willing to look, to clear all those things. That's how finally everything. Then luckily, I think Song was the one that told me about your financial problem. Then I talked to you, I said, you let me know, I help you to solve. That one turned around. After we turned around that one, I think the rest all follow and turn around everything. Yeah. So you need to be very clear, establish the clarity, then focus and do what you need to do. And do what you need to do is very easy, not difficult. And the problem turned out to be a non-problem, straight away. Then, of course, normal people will say, but you cannot lah, we try to sell the property, nobody want. All this is what you are taught, karmic conditioning will tell you. But if you really have the Dhamma understanding, that's why I told him, I said, you forget about it. You get a good agent. If this one doesn't work, get another one. And talk to them nicely. Follow Noble Eightfold Path. And develop the understanding, the love, the metta, all that. Then clear, one by one, go and clear. Then make decision to resolve matter. If you hold on to matter, it become a big problem. If it's not resolved, if you have the understanding, you must resolve there and then resolve. Then you don't carry anything up here. If you don't resolve, you continue to carry it. Well, you will worry about it. And that fear, worry, anxiety, without you knowing, behind, from back door, you will come out on. So all these are your habitual fear, habitual worry, anxiety that keep on manifesting and living being trapped in thought. Actually, if they understand the way of thought, they will become very beautiful. then thought has no power over you. Because if you understand thought, thought is limited, and thought is just a thought, arise and pass away, no reality. How come it has such power over you? How can it make living beings so miserable? Then when you awaken to that, then you realize, then why did I go and think the wrong thought? That condition, my fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lament, what I should focus on is to solve the problem, to resolve all things amicably following Noble Eightfold Path. Then no more issue, no more problem. All these are reality of life and existence, like I explained. If it's a reality, it's not only yours, no. Every living being has to go through, no. So if you understand that reality, then you just attend to it, resolve it. Yeah. That's why I say, to me, there is no such thing as a problem. It's only a problem when you perceive it with negativity. And a lot of deluded living beings, not only they perceive it negativity, they develop intense fear, worry, anxiety until they become depressed, until they become very chronic. The karmic consciousness actually engulf them, the cocoon of consciousness, and make them so miserable. And this is what the noble truth of dukkha is, the first noble truth. Yeah. And the first noble truth of dukkha, as taught by the Buddha, is so beautiful. When you understand, you really can help yourself unwind all this problem. Then through your own understanding, you will later on can help people who are going through the same thing. Very good. Jinhao, sadhu.
Yeah, with the understanding of Buddha Dhamma, it's let me understand that, you know, to have a very clear mind is very important. Because a lot of times, you know, the karmic blockage is so real, you know.
Yeah.
It just block your view.
You cannot do anything. The karmic consciousness, when it comes, it's a karmic obstruction that obstructs you, you know, from actually becoming rational. You know? Oh. Just like at Wutai San, you remember Han? You see, you really become like very, very stupid.
It's so real, you know. Yeah. It's like, and then at that time, you don't even know that you were in that situation.
Yeah.
It would be just totally blocked, you see.
Yeah, obstructed. The coming also here. And you got intense fear. Then you are not listening or not. Then when people, we all call her, that's why the sister also had to repeat, say, listen. That word cannot go in. She stuck in the karmic consciousness, the thought there. Keep on wanting to tell her what the thought is going through. And when you are caught in that situation, it means you don't have the clarity of mind, the awareness. And because the karmic consciousness, the karmic conditioning, it's very difficult for ordinary being to come out of it. Yeah. That's why without mindfulness developed, there is no way you can develop the wisdom to free your mind. No way at all.
That's why the awareness is so important.
Yeah, sati.
in the time whereby you are in the dilemma, where the emotion took over, and awareness is the things that pull you back.
Yeah, right? That is the wisdom energy that can break the fear, the worry, the anxiety. Well, without sati, the thought will have power over you. It will continue to deceive you, delude you, and cause a lot of affliction and suffering within the human mind. That's why living beings suffer not because of their choice. Is because the karmic process is like that. So without understanding the karmic, you cannot actually reverse all this. You have to understand that all these are karmic related. And then you determine to change by asking for forgiveness, repentance, then follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, the good and purify, by keeping your precepts, then vow not to repeat all this. Ask for forgiveness and repentance. Then cultivate following the advice of Buddha to change your life condition. And once you do that, your life take a turn and you become very different. You are like very blessed. And a lot of things go your way. Then you realize that actually it's not so difficult to have the good life. And all this will fall into place. That's why I realize a lot of karamita, they are so much happier after they know the Dhamma.
Yeah, true, very true. Yeah. So that's why I just always so thankful about what I've encountered actually.
Yeah.
And also the supporting karamitas and all this, you see. That it really put me to have a better understanding into Buddha Dhamma and also in what life is, you see. So that if you will just give me a better understanding, a better place for me to cultivate, you see. So I think that's all my sharing.
Yeah, can. So let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
I'm very happy to hear Brother Jin Hao's sharing tonight.
His one is really a great turnaround story. Really beautiful.
Jin Hao, you may not realize, but do you know that you sound so relaxed?
very different from his olden days.
Not so stressed as we
did. Last time, full of fear and panic. You talk to him like he is not himself. A lot of thought going on, worry. Unresolved issue.
I totally agree with what Jin Hao has been saying that the Dharma actually has changed a lot of us, knowingly or unknowingly. Yeah. And especially in times of difficulty or when you are very unsure of yourself, if we are able to be very aware of what is happening or what we are doing, somehow we will have that little wisdom to act.
Yeah, to resolve it.
The correct way.
Yeah.
And of course, remembering our Brother Teo's advice and Dharma that we have learned, it helps us to resolve many things and do things the right way. Recently, I went for a chanting session with my niece. I went to this, Ling Chiu San.
Ling Chiu San, Taiwan.
This one is in Penang.
Penang, they got a branch.
They have one center.
That Ling Chiu San, not bad. I think Pamansuri also went there before.
We went to one in Penang, and they had this long chanting session. So it's like my niece is asking, "You want to go But you don't understand. You can't even chant." I said, I can go. I have no problem. I've been to Sampo Temple. This type of retreat one whole week. I just stand there while they are chanting. So similarly, when I go there, it's like everybody feels so weird. Why this lady sitting there don't even look at the book, don't even open the book? But I just smile, you know. Like Bertil says, when we have that that mindfulness, when they're doing the chanting,
even though
I can't understand, when they chant,
The vibration will go in.
Yeah, the vibration, and not only that, I can hear the words. Even though
very
I don't understand,
to you.
I can hear them. My niece will say, "They are chanting so fast, I cannot follow." I was thinking, not that fast, isn't it?
Because when you have the awareness, the mindfulness, you can follow actually.
So it was almost 2 hours of chanting for this Ti Chang Wang Pusa.
Sadhu,
quite long sessions. I think it's almost 2 hours of that.
Sadhu.
And during the time, I just sit there.
Sadhu.
Then you see, the other thing is, I noticed is like the last half hour, I think they were talking about the Dhamma. And of course, I don't understand what she was saying. So later I asked my niece, you know, about what she was talking. And like, I think even the Sangha, even they are well-versed in the Sutta or whatever that they have read or been taught, a lot of them can't really explain it.
Yeah, they can't. You're right. Most of them cannot. Not to say this is just a branch. But the one at the main temple there, the Lingqiu San there where the abbot is, I was told by Pamasri, they are good. They are good.
I think that is very different. But I think this lady is from KL, probably. Because I saw her, car number plate as V, so I think she's from she's from KL.
Yeah.
But you know, when my niece was explaining to me, that's when I was so grateful to Brother Teo, you know, having joined Brother Teo for so long, that we are able to understand the Dhamma.
Yeah. So much differently.
Very differently, Brother Teo.
Yeah. Very different. It's just like just Xianhua, the seven factor enlightenment that is where tapali one, they all didn't get it right. A lot of things, it's not easy. Actually, the Theravada tradition is very authentic, but the understanding part is not there, actually. Then, like I always mentioned in the early days, when it comes to Mahayana, a lot of the teaching has run. Very good.
Like you're just now you're saying about the seven factors of enlightenment.
Enlightenment.
You know, and the Abhijja Sutta, which is about on Sunday. Even though we don't realize it, you know, but when we know, when we listen to it, it shows that how much we have learned, no, Brother.
Yeah.
Even a lot of new Kayamita,
especially the retreat from Singapore side, the Heart Sutta book, I tell you, is a real gem. The teaching is so clearly explained inside there.
But the fact that Brother Teo has been teaching year after year, especially nowadays, it's so much different, Brother Teo.
So much different,
So much different, Brother
The Teo. Understanding really go in on.
Yeah. So thankful for that, Brother Teo.
Yeah, sadhu, yeah.
like you're saying, it is our parami to have met Brother Teo and all the kilometers who have helped along the way in our cultivation and understanding of the Dhamma. I would like to say thank you to everybody.
Sadhu.
Brother Teo, I think I'll end my
Okay. Just exactly after the alarm, Okay, let us rejoice. Sadhu, with all the good sharing by Chin Hao PG. So now we will share merit and transfer merits. Akasata Chia Bumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anamoditwa Chirang Rakan Tuloka Sasana Ita Wata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anumodantu Sabba Sampati Siddhiya Idang Me Nyatinang Hotu Sukita Hontu Nyatayo Idang Me Nyatinang Hotu Sukita Hontu Nyatayo Idang Me Nyatinang Hotu Sukita Hontu Nyatayo Devo Vasatukalena Sasa sampati heto cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko ibina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu. Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Guanyin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end. Sadhu.